Hallelujah. All right. So, still talk a little bit about rewards and those kinds of things. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way and pray for me if you would. Father, I love you. And I thank you for their prayers for me. And I receive the grace that comes through those prayers. Receive it from you as it goes up to you and back now. I receive by the precious person of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in me and through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to read in 5 and then we'll read in 4 and then we'll go to Romans 8 and then we'll go to where else maybe. Oh, he'll tell me. But you do know the power of all this begins wherever you're going to go, as in your next step. It's all relevant to first and foremost. And sometimes we can assume and then we get in trouble. The life of Christ in you is the new nature. It's the new nature. See, when we say Jesus, it's that Jesus brings us together. I can fellowship with my Baptist brethren, Methodist, blah, on and on and on. It doesn't matter. We can sit around a round table and we may not all speak in tongues. We may not all lay hands on the sick. We may not all this. But Jesus is what brings us together. But not Jesus as in pretense. Because you can say, you can even have church of blah, blah, blah. Use Jesus' name in it. Of certain saints. But what makes us have a camaraderie is the spiritual DNA, which comes about by one thing and one thing only. It's the regeneration. It's the new birth. See, what brings Christendom together is the new birth. You must be, Jesus said emphatically, Jew, Gentile, any age, any dispensation, 2010, 1800, 1700s, all the way back to the cross, to Nicodemus, you will not enter into the kingdom of God except you be born again. You can't, well, I believe in God. Well, believing in God or about God or studying God doesn't get you there. You must have a rebirth, which is a spiritual rebirth. The Holy Spirit must at some point, based on your commitment to Christ and reception of who He is and His finished work, He must step in and instantaneously, 2 Corinthians 5:17, change you from an old creature to a new creature. So you literally, if you could see it literally, that person on the inside changes. It changes. Along with it, then, immediately, the change of appetite. It's not that you can't sin. You can still sin, but you don't want to sin. That's the difference. There's nothing on the inside that really has that motivation. The dynamo, the cranking out of it, doesn't exist anymore. See, we're not teaching on religions, but the people across the street that are building the church, people will say, we need to be kind to everybody. Well, you need to be kind. But religions or teachings that do not include the new birth, if they just talk about Jesus. Now, you can even leave the Holy Spirit out of it in the sense of whether you believe praying in tongues is for today or not. You can leave that part out of it and still be born again. But if you leave the rebirth out of it, the finished work of the blood, you're not going to heaven. I mean, there's no way to get there except through the blood of Christ. You must come through that avenue. You must come through that gate. And they don't allow that. They don't teach the rebirth. And there's many others that don't teach the rebirth. But the power, the jump start of your entire life is the rebirth. You have to be born again. But from that point, that's the launching pad. From that point, then the paraclete, the comforter, the sent one that Jesus said, I will not, I promise you. They were tugging on him, don't go. And he said, look, it's expedient. I mean, it's beneficial. It's better. And I'm saying, how could it be better? I wish Jesus would have hung around in the flesh. But no, he said, it is expedient, meaning it's better for you that I go away, because when I go away, I've got this worked out, that my immediate departure brings in the ushering of the next one who is just like me, and his name is the Holy Ghost. He's not only going to birth you into my kingdom and change you on the inside, but then he's going to stand down on the inside of you. See, at the new birth, you're born again. That happens to you. Killed in a car wreck. I'm dead. I was born again 5 minutes ago. I step out of my body. Paramedic people are, I can't get a heartbeat, can't get a heartbeat. For those first few moments, I might be hovering over my body. But then the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm looking at my, it takes my cognizant, because the spirit has a cognizant awareness. It'll take just a minute for me to orientate, to be orientated to, wait a minute. This isn't a dream. I'm laying there. But there's no pain. I don't feel pain. I'm okay. I feel a great sense of awareness of peace. And just the next moment, just a matter of seconds, at the speed of light, wherever that next dimension's at, which where he's at, you'll be there. You'll be there. But that happened. The reason why that happened is this. That person who now is invisible to everybody else, who's standing there really, or hovering or looking, it's tangible in a spiritual tangibility. It has fingers, toenails, body parts just like your human body parts. That is the person that now exists before death, inside of you. That's the spirit. It's called the pneumaticos man. And that spirit man, that pneumaticos man, is the part of you that was, it liked juking, it liked jiving, it liked smoking, it liked doing it, it liked toking it, it liked, but the moment it gets born again, it's recreated in the image of Christ. Then if you do that, it quenches it on the inside. It says, oh, golly, God, forgive me. I can't do that. I don't like that anymore. That's not right. It's sleeping around don't work for me because, man, there's something different. That's why a lot of times you look at your friend that said they got born again. They're still cranking it out. They're still just cranking it out like they never stopped. Well, they didn't get born again. Because it's going to be a little bit of a, whoo, whoa, Nelly, on the inside of them. Because that new man changes on the inside. And he says, I even if I did that, golly, God, forgive me. And if you fell into it next week, it's like, ugh, man, Jesus, take the shame of this thing. I used to laugh about it when I did it, but now it's not laughable to me anymore. There's been a change. You could still do it, but there's still a change. And that changed you, that DNA. That's the part that goes to heaven. But that happened to you. See, that's you. That's your pneumaticos is you. But still, the Holy Spirit is not necessarily in there. He stepped in there, recreated the whole thing, but he did not stay in there as in fullness. He stepped into the measure that he created the new man. That gets you to heaven. You're going to heaven whether you ever utter a moment of language in the Holy Spirit. But the baptism, when Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will send the Comforter. He will guide you into all truth. He will baptize you. And when He baptizes you, He brings with Him the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift is this fine-dressed gentleman stepping into you. He does the work of recreation or regeneration, and now you're a new creature. You really are. The Greek says the spora. The spora is what man produces his offspring with. Now you've got divine spora on the inside of you. You are a new creation in Christ. You're a new creation. But you can be a new creation and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Spirit, when you open up your spirit to Him and say, Father, fill what You have created, and then He steps in, He along with that brings a suitcase. This, I am the Holy Spirit, and here is My gift. My gift is this. I've come to pray for you. It is the utterances of praying in other tongues. And He will unequivocally, without restriction, as long as you will give Him any authority to do so, you become the steward of saying, Holy Spirit, will You pray for me? And the moment that your faith goes inward, once you're filled, see, a lot of times people think that they have to tarry. The tarrying for the Holy Spirit was in the outpouring. Jesus said, go and tarry. Once He came, that was His initial blast on the earth. He's here now. You never find in the Word of God after that any necessity. Somebody might say, well, I'm waiting till He... Don't wait. As the old-timer said, you know, if you're waiting, you're backing up. He's here now. There's instantaneously, the moment, it's simultaneous. Actually, when you get saved, you should just go ahead and receive and start speaking with other tongues. Because the moment, the one that did the work on the inside, you say, well, how could He go on the inside and not be there? He is only to a measure. It's like if I plaster this wall, I'm going to say, I don't like this wall. This wall is old, ugly, messed up. I'm going in here and I'm going to redo this wall. I'm changing this. I'm painting it. I'm putting a tapestry on there that never was. My fingerprint is on the wall. My fingerprint, who I am, my spiritual DNA has touched the insides of that person. Now I'm a new offspring. The next step is, Jesus said, the gift of the Holy Spirit will accompany Him. He wants to fill you up. He wants to baptize you and pour Himself into you. Now you're no longer a fixation of what He has made. You become something that He comes to dwell in. Hallelujah. He said He is with you, but He will be in you. Hallelujah. And so many people try to accomplish it. I know we're nowhere near our scriptures, but He's taken over prophecy. So many people try to accomplish their walk without His help. It's such a travesty. It's no shame on you except for the fact that you hurt yourself if you're not filled. But if you are filled, and then don't take the advantage of allowing Him to pray the utterances for you on a daily basis, because the Word says that He has been sent to build you up, Jude 20, on your most holy faith. Romans 8 says that He has been sent to edify you, or 1 Corinthians 14, to edify you. Romans 8 says He's come to mortify, meaning, look, mortification. You know what a morgue is? If you spend an overnight stay in a morgue and you're not the mortician, that's not a good place to be. Mortify means to be put to death. The Holy Spirit looks at you and says, even after you're born again, son, daughter, look, even after you're born again, it's still not your responsibility to change yourself. But if you'll lean into it, and allow Me to come. Every utterance, 1 Corinthians 14, that He edifies. You know what edify is? It's to build you up. Build you up against your weaknesses. Taking you line on line, precept on precept, even if you know the problem. See, here's the deal.
So many churches, so many ministers, so many people, so many in the pew people talking one with another will say, you know what you need? You need more love to overcome that, or you need more discipline to do that, or you need more this. We understand that. Somebody get into the deep core of how do I take myself from wanting to smoke one down even after I'm born again? How do I take myself from the lusts of the flesh or the pride of life? Because the DNA of the spiritual man is there and it doesn't want to do that. But guess what? You still live in a body. And the mortification in Romans 8 was directly related when he said, I want to put you to death, and here's the one that'll help put you to death. He's the Holy Spirit. That mortification was not an inward, as in that DNA or that man who steps out of his body in a car wreck and says, I know I'm going, I'm whisked to heaven. That mortification is against the mindset of a mind that comes through decades of sin and degradation and things that weighted a person's memory down and their mind down and their heart down and their inadequacies. That's where the Holy Spirit steps in. And as he begins to pray, line on line, the Holy Spirit prays words, he prays sentences, he prays paragraphs, he prays letters to God. And this comforter is building you up. At the same time, there's a dichotomy taking place. There is life in the edification, but at the same time, without your knowing it, there is a death process taking place in those sensual areas of the flesh that you don't, sometimes you know about, sometimes you don't know about, sometimes you don't know why you act the way you do, but the Holy Spirit goes in and he begins to mortify, which means to put to death wrong attitudes, wrong contemplations, wrong motives. And every hour, every moment, or every 5 minutes you're riding down the road, showering, or doing anything other than what would be deliberate, behind the scenes, locked away kinds of prayers, any time that you're uttering, Koroske petela prostoto. What did you say just then? I'm not quite sure. Because it really wasn't a tongue for you to understand, but it was a tongue for me to give an example. But I do know that in that, there was my edification. He might have said, you're doing a good job, boy. Keep going. Sometimes people think that they can direct their tongue. Now, there are tongues. There are four types of tongues. There's the one of deep intercession where, God, something comes on you and you'll start groaning in the Spirit and you'll start praying in tongues and you'll find out 2 days later, my God, somebody called you and say, man, were you praying for me? Yes. I don't know what. I don't know why. Man, at that time I was going through some deep stuff. But as a whole, on a day in, 24/7, the Holy Spirit stands down inside of you and says this, Abba, I'm ready to go to work. All it takes is them to release their faith, and it's not even a conscious, it's when your faith goes inward and your tongue engages. I'm putting it in gear. The tongue begins to be the catalyst by which the Holy Spirit uses to come out of this new made man, and a process begins that the Holy Spirit begins to pray, and he begins to pray against your weaknesses. And this is why Jesus said, I cannot be here with all of you. I cannot. I am one person. I'm glorified. I will go and glorify myself before the Father is going to glorify me. But I can't be with all of you simultaneously. But there's one that's not only going to be with you, he's going to stand down in you. And guess what? Every time you open your mouth, even if you're conscious, see, the relevance of my praying in the Spirit is not based on my brain, whether I'm consciously aware of the process. I can be writing, or I can be sending an email, or I can, but if I'm habitually giving myself over to the Holy Spirit every moment that I'm praying, I can't dictate that. Some people say, hey, let's join hands here and pray in the Holy Ghost over this person's need. You can't do that. He's the one who, in fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, when you begin to give that utterance, he's praying for you. Where they're just shaking all over, and praise God, we just prayed in the Holy Ghost for that person. You shook all over praying for your edification. You cannot dictate by your mind saying, Holy Spirit, I want you now to do. It's as He wills. But you can understand this. The more you enter into that edification process, the exact mind of Christ and the wisdom for every situation and circumstance will flow to you, in you, and through you for the power that it takes to move that mountain in your life or anybody else's life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, why do you think that He'd say all this if He wasn't going to call a grace line? And any of you that want to pray in tongues, it may only come. I've heard Barbara has just a tremendous testimony. I'm stuttering all over. She just got like one or two words to start with, didn't you? Four. For months. She kept just priming that pump. If you get one and it sounds like goo goo gaga, everybody's language is, or if you, it sounds like Walmart, Walmart. You're not the one making it up. See, and I don't agree with somebody saying, say this, say this. It may be that they transition into that of the Holy Spirit, but the Word says that He gives the utterance. The problem with telling them to say that is they'll get down the road and say, was I repeating, Pastor, or what, did I really get the real thing? But listen, when that Word begins to take over your tongue. See, I'll just go ahead and say this. He told me to go ahead and do this, and I'll bypass all that at the end. And this will help any of you getting people filled. The moment you got born again, I don't know where it was at. You might have been over coffee. It might have been in driving through the woods or in a park, or it might have been in a difficult situation. You might have bent your knee as a last result before you committed suicide. You might have this, that, the other. The moment you said, Jesus, I'm desperate, forgive me, you didn't see. Now, you may have, but it would be highly unlikely. You didn't see Him walk through the wall and say, I'm here. But by faith, something inside of you said, I believe. I believe. And as a result of that moment, faith has compounded that you've gotten grace for grace. And now, nobody, wild horses couldn't tear it out of you. You know, despite all your weaknesses, you're God's child. You know you love the Lord. So that's the beautiful thing. Hallelujah is right. The thing of it is you didn't see Him come through the wall, but you received it by faith. Now the one that He sent didn't come to replace Him. He come to accentuate Him. He come to bring Him to fullness in your life. And He come to stand down on the inside of you. You receive Him in that, in the same way you receive Christ. You receive Him and say, okay, I'm not going to receive something different. I'm going to receive what I know and feel and sense all the same, but it's all going to begin to be bring forth a process of edification on the inside of me. So, like someone who received something by faith and did not see the author of it, but received it by faith, in the same way you receive the Holy Spirit, you say, okay, I can't necessarily see you, I don't know, but Jesus said this, and this is the fruit. I'll put in footnote of this, because I like to stay to sound doctrine, but it will not destroy the image of the seed. Jesus said this. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now, the essence of that is even far deeper than what I'm saying this morning, but the offspring of that is this. He said, you being parents, and He wasn't saying you were evil, but He was saying as in comparison to you and God, yes. He said, if your child asks of you, Mom, piece of bread, you would not give him a scorpion. You would not give him a serpent. You would not give him something to harm him. Neither will your heavenly Father. Here's the assurance. You're standing on a grace line. I want God. Wait a minute. Is this going to be me? Is this going to be a devil? Can I blaspheme God some way by being insincere and saying something out of my mouth? Listen, if you engage God with the same simple faith that you accepted Him without any sight and say, Father, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you take the faith to stop speaking in English. Now, I also found out this. You cannot, no man, no matter what your IQ is, you cannot speak two languages at once. You can go word to word, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but you cannot utter two languages at once. The Holy Spirit is a language. The Holy Spirit is a person, but He gives a language. As long as you stand there and say, with your cognizant mind, I love you, I love you, I work. He is such a gentleman, He can't interrupt that. I always tell everybody, the Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues. And He doesn't. You speak in tongues. He's the one who feeds you the words. But I say that to say this, He cannot interrupt your will. So if you pleasantly just stand there and say, okay, I'm waiting for you to start taking me over, and I'm going to keep saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, He cannot override your will. At some point, you have to stop speaking English, you have to stop speaking Spanish, and then you have to say, okay, I receive, I breathe in, last time to say this, I love you, Jesus. Now, whatever you give, now you're saying this on the inside, whatever you give, I receive. And then you begin to let air, which is what you do 24/7, move from, except when you're sleeping, from out of your lungs, up through your throat, out of your mouth, and as it passes, you believe that you receive, and the Holy Spirit somewhere intercepts that, and He begins to initiate His heavenly gift. And you can feel Him come on you when I lay hands on you. And He begins to fill you on the inside. The next step is that giant leap of faith. Oh, God. Oh, am I going to step out into this chasm and it is going to be not me? Or am I going to fall all the way to the end and I'm going to make a mess of myself? And God, I'm going to be standing here saying words that I'm making up in my head. Impossible, impossible, impossible. Because when you receive Him and you breathe Him in, and you receive Him by faith, He begins to supply the words. If it's one, two, three, or four, like Barbara had, if it's just a simple process of moving your lips, He begins to take that contemplation, that He takes that process and cranks it, moves it more and more and more until, before you know it, at the end of your life, in fact, in the next few months, you'll be a Holy Spirit, tongue-talking, devil-stomping machine. Hallelujah. You'll find yourself getting up and saying, my goodness, I feel like getting a switch and going bear hunting, devil hunting. I mean, hallelujah. 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 I know several of you feel like you've tried and you don't know. It's not that you've given up on God. You just say, God, what about? Listen, the admirable part is just like we said in and as a comedian, like that finger that won't stop, you're going to arrive. You're going to make it. And if you keep pushing yourself into the place of availability, you're going to find yourself run head into God. And some way the Godhead is going to get together. Even if you haven't got filled yet. See, one of His names, it's not Jehovah. I don't think it's Jehovah. I knew all of them. Nisi, Shalom, all of them. But no, it's not Sid Canu. But one of His names is the God of the impossibility, that the implications are this. Even if there were something that He hadn't never seen before, He can create a something out of nothing to solve it. So even if you were such a hard task to get filled, I guarantee you this, the triune Godhead will get together over a coffee break and say, let's just stop all eternity and angels, you guys take five. Let's discuss how we can put this one under such a deep anesthesia against themselves that they don't even know what we're doing. We'll sneak up on them. You take their, you know how you do it in school. Somebody'd get down on all fours behind somebody else, that bad trick, and push them over and they'd fall over. And okay, Holy Spirit, you sneak up on them on their blind side. And Jesus, you come and they'll start loving on you. And I the Father, I'll tell you when the Holy Spirit, they're vulnerable now. Get them and we'll get them and they'll be got. And they'll be praying in tongues before they know it. And they'll say, oh, God, you got me past myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.